The text which serves as the basis for this morning's proclamation is from the New Testament reading for today, Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. This is the text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the Apostle Paul closes this letter to the Ephesians with a significant amount of text, verses, dedicated to warning us against the schemes of the devil, that we need to be ready, that we need to be protected, that we need to be armored up. And some people, especially in our modern society, will say, is it really that bad? Is all of this armor and talk about struggles and wrestling and cosmic powers, is this all really necessary? That we be that concerned about the devil? After all, as of that first Easter Sunday morning, the devil is defeated. Jesus has won the victory over the devil, and the devil knows it. Colossians chapter 2 says, having disarmed the powers and authorities of darkness, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Because Jesus died for our sins and rose again from the grave, death has been undone and sin has been overcome, and the devil is defeated. We sing about this in one of our Easter hymns, number 467, verse 4, says it this way. Now hell, its prince, the devil, of all their power are shorn. Now I am safe from evil, and sin I laugh to scorn. Grim death with all its might cannot my soul affright. It is a powerless form, howe'er it rave and storm. The central message of Christianity cannot be any more clear. Christ Jesus has conquered sin, death, and the devil. But that doesn't mean the devil has given up or surrendered. The devil is a very sore loser. Which means that, as far as he's concerned, if he's going to go down, then he wants to bring down as many of God's children with him. So, until Jesus returns in glory, Satan is still trying to get at us. He lies to us. He tempts us. He seeks a foothold into our hearts and minds where he might gradually find a way to pull us away from God. He's like a bear caught in a trap. He ravages and he rages at anything that comes near him. Or as St. Peter puts it, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Therefore, even as we rejoice in Christ's victory over Satan, we need to be careful of the devil. Just because Jesus has risen doesn't mean that you and I get to sit back and take it easy and just kind of cruise on into heaven. This is no time to let spiritual discipline grow lax. This is no time to become arrogant or, even worse, apathetic, thinking that nothing can harm us spiritually. Because Satan is attacking all the things that God values. Life is under attack. Marriage is under attack. Family is under attack. The church is under attack. Satan seeks to destroy them all. He loves violence. He loves confusion. He loves pride. He wants to tempt you into sin. He wants to destroy your Christian faith. He wants to accuse you of your past sins so that you are kept in a constant state of guilt. We are part of a great struggle between good and evil, light and darkness, faith and unbelief, Christ and Satan. So we need to be ready. The Apostle Paul in today's New Testament reading tells us of the equipment needed so that we may stand strong in the battle against Satan. He says, stand firm and be armored with the armor that God gives you in baptism and through His Word, the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, and the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And if you look at that armor, you find that five of those pieces of armor are defensive. They are protective. But in addition to that defensive armor, the Apostle Paul also mentions the sword of the Spirit, which is offensive. It is the Word of God by which we do battle against the devil. Remember when the devil came to Jesus after his baptism, and Jesus has been out in the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days, and the devil shows up and he tempts Jesus with various temptations. Three times the devil comes to Jesus, for example, saying, Jesus, you're hungry. Why don't you turn these stones into bread? How does Jesus respond? How does he fight back and resist against this temptation of the devil? Each time Jesus does it by quoting the Word of God, by using the sword of the Spirit. He says, it is written, man does not live by bread alone. That's a quotation from Deuteronomy. The devil tempts him again. Jesus responds with the Word of God. The devil tempts him again. Jesus responds with the Word of God. This is how powerful God's Word is. This is how powerful this sword of the Spirit can be. Martin Luther spoke of the mighty power of God, of God's Word, by saying, if you take hold of the Word of God and cling to it in faith, the devil cannot win, but must run. If you can say, my God says this, on this I take my stand, you will see that he slinks away. So how are we to fight? Martin Luther asks. Cling to the Word by faith. When Satan comes, take hold of the Word of God, which promises forgiveness of sins, and take that to heart, and then soon he must leave. Cling to the promises that are found in His Word. Use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, against the devil's schemes. Take your stand on the Word of God, such as 1 John 4, verse 4. God's Spirit who is in you is greater than the devil who is in the world. Cling to and take your stand on the promises of God. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, for example, says God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Cling to and take your stand on Jesus' promise when he says in John 6, in John 10, I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one can snatch them out of my hand. Cling to. Take your stand on Jesus' promise that nothing in all creation can separate you from God's love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Cling to and take your stand on Jesus' promise when he says, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Again, as Luther says, if you take hold of the Word of God and cling to it in faith, the devil cannot win, but must run. And one more thing. Now that you're all armored up, got your sword of spirit in hand, don't do this by yourself. Don't fight alone. You're not Rambo. You're not John Wayne. You're not Superman. As the Apostle Paul describes this armor in Ephesians 6, as he's telling us about all these various pieces of armor, he's using the second person plural tense, as in this armor is for you, plural, all of you. This armor isn't just for you individually, it's for us as we wage this battle together, side by side. We're not called to stand alone, but to stand together. This is why God calls us to gather. So let us not give up meeting together, as it says in Hebrews 10, verse 25, with brothers and sisters in Christ in His church. Why not? Why not give up meeting together? Because then we lose out on the opportunity to encourage one another and lean on each other and support each other and receive together the gifts that Jesus gives us of His Word and His sacraments. When Paul talks about this armor in Ephesians 6, he is modeling all of this on the actual armor that Roman soldiers were using quite successfully in Paul's day. But these Roman soldiers, when they're all armored up with their breastplate and their shoes and their helmet and their shield, they don't run out onto the battlefield all by themselves and defeat the enemy single-handedly. That's not how it worked. The Roman soldiers, they had these shields that were about 2.5 feet wide and about 4 feet tall. And when they would go into battle against a fortified position of the enemy, they would go walking in side by side. They would create a wall of armor, a wall of these shields, one next to the other, so that the weapons of the enemy could not penetrate that wall. And not only a wall in front of them, but then there were more soldiers behind them who would put their shields up high so that you've got your front protected and you're also protected by this roof of shields. In other words, it was a group effort, not just a single-handed thing. In the same way, we are called into a church, a group, a gathering, an ecclesia, as Jesus calls it, in which we can stand together with each other, for each other, armored against the devil's schemes. The victory has been won, and this was proven on the day that Jesus triumphed over the grave. And one day that victory will be finalized and realized when Jesus appears again in great glory. But until then, until Jesus comes again, there will be days of battle, there will be days of evil, days of testing. Christian soldiers need not be afraid. The enemy cannot penetrate the full armor of God, and he cannot succeed against the Word of God. If you believe and are baptized, you will be saved. You have everything you need. You are equipped in Christ to do battle with the evil one, and in the end, to stand. We say this in another hymn, hymn number 666, which you may recognize from the book of Revelation as the number of the beast. It is a number that reminds us Christians of the devil, Satan. His number is 666. Well, here is hymn number 666, and it is in fact about Satan. But verse 3 says this, says, as true as God's own word is true, not earth nor hell's satanic crew against us shall prevail. Their might, a joke, a mere facade. God is with us, and we with God. Our victory cannot fail. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.